The epistle from the feast of St. Paulinus of Nola, it is the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. St. Paul says, "Brethren, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that being rich, he became poor for your sakes, that through his poverty you might be rich. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." St. Paulinus of Nola, probably a name that you're not too familiar with, but a very great saint, a sacrificial and a very generous saint who gave without ever accounting the cost for himself. He lived in a time when there were many enemies in his part of the world, in his country, and they would often come into the country. First it was the Goths, and then it was the Vandals, and they would come and take prisoners. And so on the first occasion with the Goths, they came and they ransacked the village, the city, and they took many people prisoners, including St. Paulinus himself. Well, God arranged it somehow, and St. Paulinus was freed after some time, and he returned home. Maybe a few years later, the Vandals crossed the ocean into Nola, the town of Nola, and there they captured many of the people. St. Paulinus was spared in this one. So St. Paulinus, in his great charity, he would sell his possessions, and he would give his money and buy back all of these slaves from the enemy. Well, St. Gregory tells this story. He says that on one occasion, after St. Paulinus had given everything he possessed, had no more money left, there was a poor widow with an only son who came to him begging for his charity, saying, "This is my only son. He's being taken prisoner by the Vandals, and he is the only support that I have in this world. Can you please do something to help?" And St. Paulinus just looked at her sadly and said, "I have nothing left to give except myself." So he looked at her and he said, "But you have to do this to take me to the enemies, and you have to tell them that I am giving you this man, St. Paulinus, in place of my son. Take him." Then St. Gregory commented that the woman looked at him and hesitated. She didn't want to do it. But St. Paulinus then began to say it in such ways that he convinced her to do it and that it was all right. And so together they walked. And although he was at one time a rich man, he went in the clothes of a slave, and he walked with the old widow to the place, and there he was sold as a slave. And then he was taken and made to work in the garden of the king of the Vandals, and God blessed him there. His garden was a very beautiful one, but the king had a relative who was very much into all of the gardening and the horticulture and everything else like that. And so he went in there daily to look at the beautiful garden. And on one occasion, had a conversation with St. Paulinus, found out that he was not just an ordinary slave, but there was something more to him. And St. Paulinus looked him in the eye one day. He said, "Take care of the king's affairs, because not too far from now, he will be a corpse. He will die." And the king's relative went back to the king and told him. The king had had a dream that same night that he was standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and that one of the judges before him was St. Paulinus. So the king summoned St. Paulinus in, and he asked Paulinus what his name was, because he knew the name from the dream, but he didn't know who this gardener was. He didn't know him by name. So he broke out in a cold sweat, the king did, and he asked Paulinus what his name was. At first he wouldn't say anything. But then, because he thought it would glorify God, he gave his name. And then the king knew that his dream and the prophecy of St. Paulinus was indeed true. The king let St. Paulinus go. And then he said, "What else is it that you want?" And St. Paulinus said, "I would like for you to release all of the prisoners that you took from my town of Nola." Done. And the king let him go. That's a little bit the story of our Lord, isn't it? You and I, we were not merely sold into slavery. We gave ourselves up to the devil as slaves. We wanted to be his slaves. And we wanted our own will over God's commandments. And yet our Lord comes down and goes along with his mother, and he offers himself in our place on the cross. And then the King, the Eternal Father, frees us. Oh, we have much to do, yet we're not Protestants. We must work towards our goal of heaven. It's not by faith alone. But we'll end on this thought. If you had been one of those citizens of Nola that St. Paulinus had just freed, how would you have acted towards him? What gratitude would you have shown him? How much you would have loved him. He would have been your greatest benefactor. And you would have even spent your life in assisting him, helping him. That's how we should be for our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. He continues that act of atonement every day in the Holy Mass. And yet it says the Sacred Heart complains to St. Margaret Mary, "Behold the heart that has so loved men and is so little loved in return." And he says how cold our hearts really are. So let us show to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, especially in this octave of Corpus Christi, the same love, devotion, and gratitude that we would have shown St. Paulinus had we been one of the souls that he redeemed from the captivity of slavery. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.